This morning we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, and we're continuing our series talking about starting here. And one of the really big questions we've been asking is, how can we, or can we, really do what Jesus says in the Bible? Jesus says that we're supposed to make a difference, that we're supposed to be salt, and that we're supposed to be light. Can we really do that today? And we've been looking at the example of one of the Bible's really great examples of this, a guy named Paul. And we remember how Paul went on these missionary journeys and how he changed the world and how he was just a single individual, but he did that. And when he came to this city called Thessalonica and he told the people there about Jesus, many of them received that message, but Paul had to leave because they started a riot, and so he leaves town. But then there begins to become this talk. People start saying, hey, this guy named Paul, he came and he had this message, but you know what? It wasn't legit. It wasn't a real message. He had false motivations. He really, what he wanted was your money, or he was just a charlatan. He was just a fake. And all these negative critics sort of came out of the woodwork and started to attack Paul's character. And so Paul will write a letter from the southern part of Greece. Thessalonica is in the north part of Greece, from the southern part of Greece in the city of Athens. He'll write a letter back. And the letter becomes the first letter in the New Testament, chronologically. And so this morning, as we start here, we start at Paul's beginning letter. And he begins to talk to them about who he is and about the message that he shared with them. Now, right now, you know, our culture, as Christians in our culture, we're kind of in this, we have this question, like, how do we talk about our faith today? And there's some people kind of having this conversation about their faith today in which they don't want to talk about it at all. They just kind of hide out like the Amish do, kind of create a little commune. Others sort of want everybody to know everything they think, and they're sort of on attack mode, and they're just spewing vitriol at everybody they can come in contact with. And then there are guys like Paul, who when he engages the culture around him, what he's trying to be is salt and light. He's trying to share the message, and he doesn't come pounding his fist or shaking his finger at people or hellfire and brimstone. That's not Paul's approach. Listen to the way Paul describes the way he came to this, to these people and told them about the message of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 begins, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children." All right, don't raise your hand, but some of you here today, you know what it's like to be a nursing mother. I mean, there's no more loving picture in the whole world than a mom who's taking care of a little child, an infant child. He said, that's the way I came to you. Before that, he said, I came like a child. Later on, he'll say, I came like a dad. When Paul came bringing the good news of the gospel, he came with this sense of love, and he says, I love you so much, I'm going to tell you the message. As a loving, as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. We loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. We loved you so much that we actually shared the gospel. You know, if we really love people, we're going to tell them the gospel message. We're going to tell them the truth that God has given to us. Verse 9 says, "Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardship. We worked night and day in order to not burden anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." When Paul came to Thessalonica, he had a part-time job just so he could kind of make it and tell people about Jesus. He says, "You're witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. You know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." So he's using these loving images. "We came to you to share this message. We weren't just coming at you going, hey, accept this or else. Like a loving father, like a loving mother, we came to you to tell you this message. Encouraging and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we thank God continually because when you received the word of God," in other words, they didn't just hear it, they received it, "which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but it as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, have become imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to everyone in their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. But in this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last." This morning, I just want to real quickly share with you a message called "God is Calling, pick up the phone. You know, I don't know if you've ever had one of these experiences in life where the phone rings and you sleep through it, and then finally you just kind of wake up and you're sort of groggy. You know, sometimes it's hard to sleep at night. Some of you may be married, and you're married to somebody who snores. I heard about a pastor one time whose wife had a snoring problem. And so he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Does your wife's snoring bother you, Pastor?" He says, "It doesn't just bother me, it bothers the whole congregation." Well, the problem today, I think, is that a lot of us as Christians, whether we realize it or not, in some sense, might be asleep. And by the end of this message, I hope today you'll hear me say that God is calling you, and the phone is ringing right now, and the question is, are you going to pick it up, or are you going to let it go to voicemail? Are you going to hear what God has for you to hear today, or are you going to say, you know, pass, just let it ring. Just let it go to voicemail. Forget about it. If you have your message notes and you want to follow along with me, I just want to share with you real quickly what that message is that God has for us today that Paul talks about here in this passage. And you can fill this out on the outline there. Number one, the message is God has a message for you. The first message is that God has a message. If you don't know today that God has something today he wants you to hear, then you may not pick up the phone. If you think that's a telemarketer on the other end of the line, it's not going to be important, it's not going to be relevant to your life, you're just going to tune it out and say, forget about it. But if you know on the other end of that line is God and he has something he wants you to hear today, maybe you'll pick up the phone and you'll say, okay, God, what is it you want me to hear? Now, Paul did this. He picked up the phone and he told these people about Jesus. And what he found out was some cliches turned out to be true. And here's some of those cliches. I've put them here on the outline. Number one, character counts. You ever heard that before? Character counts. In verse 10, he says, we came to you and we not only told you the gospel, but we gave you our lives. Paul, in this whole letter, he's sort of defending his character. He's sort of saying, look, we didn't just tell you this message, but we really believed it. We weren't trying to get anything from you. We were just trying to get you the message because character really matters. Character counts. But not only does character count, but how we go about sharing this message matters. And this is the second cliche. You ever heard this before? Share the truth in love. In Ephesians 4:15, and you can mark this verse down, Paul once said, speak the truth in love. You know, you can say the right thing in the wrong way, and it comes across as wrong. But you can share the right thing in the right way, and the message can come across as a very loving message that you want to hear. Now, there are a lot of people who know a lot of stuff. And I've had people sometimes say to me, Pastor, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. And frankly, I think as we think about being a Christian in today's world, we have to realize that the world needs to see that we love them. The people around us have to see that we love them. We have to communicate that love to them in order for us to be able to share the good news of Jesus to them. Now, that's what Paul does. But there's another side to the coin, and that is that they were listening. You know, Paul not only shared them with them the message, but they actually listened to the message and they received it. Today, the question is, are we prepared to hear the message that God has for us? Are we listening? You know, the old quote, the old cliche says, be still and know that I am God. Take that I out there on your outline. That was a typo. Be still and know that I am God. That comes from the Bible, actually. That comes from a psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 46, verse 10. Probably everybody in this room has heard the psalm, be still and know that I'm God. In fact, there's even artwork that's been done through the years. We can put up an image. You know, you've seen this kind of artwork, and maybe you have something like that in your home, or, you know, and you have kind of a prayer time. You kind of remember this verse, be still and know that I'm God. But then, sometime go back and read Psalm 46. And when you get there and you start reading through the psalm, you're going to find out that that is not the picture of Psalm 46. It's more like that movie Independence Day. Remember when the aliens came in and went, the White House blew up? That's kind of what Psalm 46 looks like. Psalm 46 is apocalyptic. It says, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, the oceans are, and the earth is quaking and the oceans are billowing. It's a scene of utter chaos. It's apocalyptic. I mean, it's like your worst nightmare. And then in the midst of it, The God of heaven speaks in Psalm 46, verse 10, and to all of it he says, be still and know that I am God. It's like Jesus in the boat out on the Sea of Galilee, and there's all the, you know, the storms going on. He just stands up and he just says, peace, and boom, instant peace. What if today God was speaking to us, and in the quietness of this moment, we could hear his voice? There's an experience like this in the Old Testament. The prophet Elijah is talked about in the book of 2 Kings. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. The artists have tried to describe this. We can put a picture, I think, of the scene from 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And you kind of see he's kind of got this thing up to his ear. That's the prophet Elijah. And what's happened is Elijah's gone into this cave, and God comes to him and he says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, because the Lord's about to pass by. Now, some of you know this story, but maybe some of you don't. This is what happens next. It says, and then there was a great and a powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. Now, if you saw something like that, God said, hey, I'm about to show up, you might go, okay, that's God. That's got to be God. But then after the wind, there was an earthquake, and the whole mountain shook, and you went, oh, that's got to be God. But the Bible says, but the Lord was not in the wind, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there came a fire. And I mean, can you just imagine it? There's fire going. You're like, that's God. God's got to be in the fire. But the text says, and the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, or the old translation says, a still, small voice. You see, you had to get quiet enough to hear God speak. You had to put that megaphone up to your ear. A boy one time was playing in the sawdust mill, and he had his grandfather's, you know, old little watch, and you remember the little sound, tick, 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 tick. And he dropped it in the sawdust, and he couldn't find it. He was searching everywhere. Finally, the idea entered his head. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to listen. And there was that sound, tick, 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 and he found it. What if today you and I need to be quiet enough, to still enough, to hear the message that God has for us, that God has a message for you today, that the phone is ringing, pick up the phone. Mercy Me wrote it like this in their song, I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and to know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All I need is to be with you and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. God has a message for you today. But number two, God has something for you to do. God has something for you to do. In verse 12 of this passage, Paul says to them, he says that God has called you into his kingdom. The old word call, vocal, voice, also is the word vocation. A vocation is something that you and I have. You have a job, maybe you work 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. But you also, no matter what you do, if you're a believer in God and you're a follower of Jesus, you have a vocation from God. You have a calling from God. God has called you into doing something. And this morning, he may be calling right now. And the voice of God may be trying to get your attention, and the phone is ringing. And the question is are you listening? Are you going to pick it up? When you have God as your vocation, you're always on call. You know, in some jobs, you kind of go 9 to 5, you punch the clock, you're done, all right. And sometimes we do that with God. We say, okay, God, I came to church on Sunday morning, I did that, and now this time is my time, I'm punching the clock, no God time for right now. Mother Teresa said, I belong to him, he has the right to consult me and to use me without asking me. When we are working for God, we are on call all the time. And the question is, this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing? God has something for you to do. How are you doing? A pastor was teasing one of his church members one day, and sometimes preachers will do this. They'll say, hey, well, you weren't at church last Sunday. Where were you? He said, what were you doing out playing football? He said, no, and I've got the fish to prove it, you know? Well, what do we have to show for the fact that God has called us and he has something for us to do? The third part of this message to you today is that God wants to spread his message through you. In verse 13, Paul talks about how he brought to them the gospel, and he says, we brought to you the word of God, God's words. And then he makes this statement. He says, and it was not just human words. Or put another way, it was more than words. I've got a lot of books, maybe you do too. Got books of great literature, books by some of the great writers. In school, you study the great works, Shakespeare and all this. And there's some great books out there. But what the Apostle Paul says is that this book is more than just great, inspiring literature. It's God's words. It's more than just human words. And if that's true, if Paul's right, if this book really does have God's words, then we need to pay attention to what those words actually are. The second thing he says here about God's word is he says it's at work in you who believe. Put another way, God's word is active in the life of God's people. If you're a person of God, then God's word is alive and at work in your life. The book of Hebrews says it's living and active. It's sharper than a sword. You know, it penetrates into your soul. It says, okay, this is what God wants you to do. And if God's word's not active in your life, I want you to ask yourself the question, why not? And if not, it may be because you have never made God's word a part of your life. You've never internalized it. That's the last thing you got to do with God's word. You have to internalize God's word. More than just human words. It must be an active word, and it must be internalized into your life. I learned the verse a long time ago, memorized that psalm that says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not. And then the psalmist also says this in that same text. He says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Have you internalized enough of God's word in your life? Are you living your life based on what God says? More than just your words or human words, but God's word. You know, there's a story, you may have heard it, about a true story of a town in Texas before World War II, that one of these little towns in Texas had a huge fire in the elementary school. And tragically, all of the children in the school died. 263 children died in this fire. And this enormous tragedy struck this town and struck Texas, and you know, it's in a powerful way. And the people in the community said, we will never, never, never let this happen again. Whatever it takes, we'll make sure that a fire never happens. And so you may have heard this before, that they installed a state-of-the-art water sprinkler system in the church. In the school. And so the whole school system was sprinkled. You've seen it before where the little sprinkler heads come down, and if there's smoke or anything, it just goes, you know, sprays everything. So for years, the people of this community were so excited that this tragedy could never happen again. Never could happen again. Because they had the sprinkler system. In fact, the honor roll students, you know what you got to do if you're an honor roll student? You got to show visitors the sprinkler system. Hey, look at our state-of-the-art sprinkler system. This tragedy took place. Never happened again. Never happened again. Well, 7 years later, they have to add on to the school, and the construction workers are down there, and they're getting ready to add a new sprinkler system onto the old sprinkler system, and you know what they find out? That the sprinkler system had actually never been hooked up to the water. For years and years, people were proud about their sprinkler system. But I think that story is kind of like a parable about religion in America. Because I think there's a lot of people in America today that go, hey, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm religious. Yeah, I've got the sprinkler system. I've got the Bible. I've got this spiritual stuff going on in my life. The only problem is that they've never connected with God. And so it's all there, and it looks really good. But God's still calling, and the phone's still ringing. And all he wants to do is make a connection with you.